I ended up taking these big cones and I painted like psychedelic colored flower petals all over them. He had one that was flowers. He had another one that was like a psychedelic beetle, you know, that he looked like. You know, so when people would see him, they'd smile and they'd go, oh, I'm cute, and he'd wag his tail.
Welcome to Dog Cancer Answers, where we help you help your dog with cancer.
Hello, friend. Today on Dog Cancer Answers, we have the most amazing true tale for you. Diana Gerba is joining us to talk about her Bernese Mountain Dog, Tesoro, who had quite a cancer journey. He racked up $60,000 in bills, and Diana got that all paid for by her insurance company. So let's talk to Diana now and bring her in to find out more about Tesoro's journey and just how incredibly special this dog was. I know you're going to enjoy this true tale. Diana Gerba, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
So your dog's name was Tesoro.
Correct.
And Tesoro has a special meaning in the Italian language, and it is?
It means a treasure, and he was truly a treasure for me. You know, a very, very special Bernese Mountain Dog. And he came to me, actually, I had lost a puppy prior to that, and his name was Donato, and I lost him to a death cat mushroom. Oh. He was 6 months old.
Oh.
And it was the same breeder. You know, we were devastated with the loss of this little boy. And, you know, she had bred another girl, and she was like, I don't know if there's going to be puppies. I don't know. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready for one, you know. And then she called me and said, yes, yes. And I'm like, yeah, I am ready for one. I want this boy, you know. And there was all, she's like, there's got to be one good one in there. There's got to be one good boy. Because she knew that, you know, I really wanted to show. I wanted to take him to versatility. And there was only one boy in the litter. And he was a pretty special guy.
And Tesoro was a Bernese Mountain Dog?
Correct.
Tell me a little bit about that breed and why you like it.
I love that breed. And I actually was in the breed for about 34 years.
Mm.
They are amazing dogs. Just absolutely amazing. They're, you know, big loves. You know, they're gorgeous looking. I remember when I saw my first one, I was just like, oh, my God, I want to have one of these someday. It's like, oh, my word. You know, they're a beautiful tricolor. The males are loving and strong, but cuddly and silly. They're great with family. It's amazing dogs, you know, and they're a working dog. I mean, all the things you can do with them. Historically, you know, we're known to be draft dogs and general farm dogs. So they're supposed to be a little bit aloof with strangers, but, you know, mine never were. They were just very happy loves. And they would pull, you know, from the farm, they would, in Switzerland, they would pull the milk cans, you know, filled with milk down to the market. And then they would return back up the hill with the cheese. There were also drovers, because in Switzerland, the cows would slowly go up the mountains. And so as drovers, you know, they weren't herders, so they didn't, you know, go running around crazy. They would slowly move them up the mountains, and they would move them back into, you know, the houses where they were supposed to be.
Just kind of encourage the cows to go to the correct place. Yeah.
In belonging to the Berner community, you know, and clubs here, we carried on the traditions of, you know, what they were bred to do. So Tesoro, you know, and all my Berners, you know, went through, we did obedience with them, but we also did draft with them, and they would pull carts and have draft tests. And a draft test is an amazing thing to do. It's a working relationship with your dog that is, you know, phenomenal to build. Oh. And, you know, because you would not only, you know, go through like a regular, like obedience little pattern, but then they would hook up to a cart and, you know, as a novice dog, you would be on lead and you would go through a course, a maneuvering course, which would entail going around things, going through a gate, closing a gate, you know, going through weaves, you know, sounds, you know, distractions, changing of pace, having someone come up and greet your dog, loading your cart, unloading your cart. So it's a thing. It's about 20, you know, it's a good amount of time.
They have to really understand what the task is, and they have to be able to focus on it.
Right. And then they would go on a freight haul, which is a half mile freight haul. and they would have to pull, as a novice dog, pull 20 pounds in their cart. As a draft dog, they would have to pull their weight round to the nearest tent in their cart. So they might be pulling, 100 pounds.
How much was Tesoro?
Tesoro was 108 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And so when he did novice. I never did the full draft dog with him. I only took him to novice and was attempting to get to master novice, which is when you have done the test 5 times. We didn't make it to 5 times.
What happened?
Well, let's see. On my birthday, actually, I noticed that his nose looked a little bit odd. And I'm like, it looks a little strange. Why? And I'm like looking at other dogs, and I know it really does look odd. So I made an appointment with my vet, and I said, look at his nose. His nose seemed odd. And she looked, and she lifted up his nose, which was an exam that usually is not done. When they look at the mouth and look at the teeth, they'll look at the teeth and under, but they'll lift the nose up. And when she did that, it seemed that it was definitely, there was something growing there.
On his upper gum, under the lip?
Upper gum.
Yeah.
And my vet was like, she says, no, I never do an exam like that. And so the next day they scheduled a quiz. She says, I think we need to get a biopsy. We need to see what's going on. And prior to doing, when I showed up the next morning, they did blood work, before they, would do the operation. And when they did it, the calcium levels were really high. Like outrageously high. And so we're suspecting osteosarcoma and going, holy moly, Batman, what are we fixing here?
Right. Osteosarcoma on the muzzle would be really
weird. It would be really weird, but is it with burners who are known to have so many cancers? I mean, the breed is a wonderful, young breed, but they have so many cancers.
Right.
So they did the biopsy, and then when they did that, they ended up pulling a couple of front teeth because they were very loosened into what would look to be the tumor. And at that point, it was, you need to go to a higher level. You need to go to an oncologist, So we made the first appointment at the higher level at Sage. And the one reason I wanted to talk to you about this is there are things that when, when you hear that with your dog that's been your companion and your heart dog, your mind starts swirling and you go, what do I do?
Right.
And so when going to the oncologist, one of the things I asked a good friend to come with me, because I said, I'm probably not going to hear everything.
Yeah, good idea.
why don't you come with me? And she was a dog person. I was like, yeah. So we went in, and, Tesoro was bouncing around full of energy. I mean, this dog.
How old was he at this point?
He was 6 and a half.
Okay, so he was 6 when he was diagnosed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when we went in, the oncologist came out. And Rebecca, wonderful woman, smart lady. And she's looking at him and she's looking at the results of everything. And, I asked her, I said, another tip, I said, do you mind if I record this on my iPhone? Because I'm not going to remember this. And even
also
though
a good idea.
Friend is here.
Right.
And she was like, of course. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
So she started looking and scratching her head. And I still was kind of like, really freaked by the blood test results. And I was going to ask her, I want them rerun again. Because I'm like, I'm not buying this.
Okay.
And, she's looking through everything and looking at the dog and going, his energy level and stuff. She says, I don't like these results. I'd like to run this again. And I want to run these blood work tests again. And I'm looking at her and I'm going, okay, darling, I like you.
Right.
Think it.
Right. Let's double check this. Let's get a second opinion. Right. Sometimes things happen. Mistakes can be made.
So she's like, you fine with leaving him here? Let me run this. I'm like, yep, I'll go out to lunch. So my friend went out to lunch, came back, and she's like, we ran the test and we ran them on 3 different machines. And what was done before was wrong. Yeah, it's just, I don't know if their machine wasn't calibrated. I don't know if lab results got switched, but everything is fine. Those levels are all normal. There is nothing else. And they also did a full body scan and said, we're not seeing anything else.
Okay.
With burners, we want to know, is there something else going on? Because that's going to help us decide what is the treatment going to be.
Sure.
So at that point, it was like, what are my options? Because he had the tumor, underneath the nose. And she's like, the best chance is to operate. and to take the tumor, which means that he is going to lose his upper jaw and he's going to lose his canines.
Right, and he'd already lost his two front teeth.
He lost the two little teeth, but it was like they were going to cut, you know, the portion of the jaw.
Yeah.
The upper jaw. And she was like, she says, his muscle is big enough, the nose will probably droop down.
Uh-huh.
But if we get the whole thing, he should be fine.
Because they hadn't seen any local invasion.
Nope.
And they didn't see any metastasis.
No. Okay. So we're like, okay, let's go there. How much is this going to cost? Unfortunately, the question that you'll need to ask.
Of course. All of us need to ask it.
But luckily, you know, my last three dogs, I've been with Trupanion Insurance.
Okay. So you already had insurance on
him. I had insurance on him from when he was 8 weeks old.
Okay.
I was like, all right. And at that point, Trupanion was still that you had to spend the money and, you know, and they would,
They would reimburse you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you just submit claims and then they would refund you, but you had to pay the cash
up front.
You had to pay
up front. Right.
They didn't work directly with the doctor, with the veterinarian. They worked with you. Okay.
I know. So it was like, all right, you know, we had already spent like four, you know, the first place, and now we were up to like six and eight and nine. And it was like, all right.
Nine total you'd already spent?
We had spent six at the earlier, and then this was going to be another nine. And so we're like, all right, go with it. And at that point, I was scratching my head because I'm like, well, I don't have that much liquid to throw right now. And my breeder was like, you know, because I was in touch with her. And I really recommend people to stay in touch with their breeders. You know, I mean, they are a source of information, you know, and they care. And so she told me, well, you've got insurance. She was going to Cross, and she's like, here, I'm just going to toss the money into your PayPal account. There you go.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was like mind-blowing. And by the time she got back from Crufts, you know, it was already back in her account because Trupanion does a really fast turnaround. I mean, they had it back to me within 7-8 days.
What? Really?
Yeah.
So can I just ask you about that? Like,
you're surprised, huh?
I'm very surprised. I just got a claim paid from like 18 months ago from my human health insurance company.
Yeah, I mean, my dog had better insurance than I do. I mean, Trupanion, I mean, they're amazing.
So you submitted it online? Did you just like upload all of your vet bills and then they just PayPal'd you money? Or how does that work?
It was, you know, I ended up, I had, you know, let them know there was this surgery that was going to occur and it was pre-approved. Yes.
Okay.
You know, he has this that needs to be done. You know, here is the bill. What is the day that it was done? I paid it off at the hospital there. And then I got the form and we faxed the form right in. And in X amount of time, it was flipped back into my bank account. And then I flipped it to my friend's PayPal.
Auto deposit from Trupanion into your bank account.
Correct.
That's nice.
And then it gets even better because, you know, it gets better and worse, you know. So, you know, we did the surgery and, you know, it was hard on him. But dogs are amazing.
And they are.
You know, he had the big hoodie on and he needed to recover from that. But the bad news was when they went in, they said that they weren't sure that they got clean margins.
Oh, no.
And so it was, we were going to have to do radiation.
Oh.
And so we ended up doing radiation. And it was like through 19 days every other day. I mean, we did, you know, an incredible amount of radiation. His skin held up. But we knew that it was going to break down at a point. And that was really hard on him. You know, when it started breaking down, it was really tough. He was wearing the big, you know, cone of shame.
Yeah. So was it the appointment? Did he mind the appointments themselves?
No. He loved the appointments. He would go in wagging his tail.
I've heard this, but dogs like radiation. They must give him lots of treats.
I think he got, really good cookies or something. But he would go and wag his tail. And it was great. And he loved all the people. They fussed over him. And it was fine with him. But it was the side effects that started breaking down, you know. And that was really hard. Really hard. But the other kind of crazy thing was, you know, you have the big cone of shame. And when people see you with the cone of shame, they come up and go, oh, is he okay? Oh,
yeah, you know, right. Obviously not okay. He has a cone on.
But and so I ended up taking these big cones and I painted like psychedelic colored flower petals all over them. He had one that was flowers. He had another one that was like a psychedelic beetle, you know, that he looked like. You know, so when people would see him, you know, I mean, they would be like, they'd smile, they go, oh, how cute, you know, and he'd wag his tail. And so it didn't, you know, the reaction that, you know, for him, that people saw and gave him a smile and were laughing as opposed to, oh, you poor dog.
Right.
So it helped me, it helped him, it helped them. And when we would go into Sage and to the vets, I mean, they always were like, oh my God, these are so great. You know, you got to make these for everybody. They should
what
be
What a great quality of life treatment to just seem so simple to decorate the cone of shame so that the dog associates it with extra fun greetings and lots of love. I love it.
You know, we would get at Christmas and stuff when we had to go in. It's like, you know, he would wear, you know, the necklaces, you know, with he would have his cone on and stuff. And he had the necklaces with the light bulbs that would light up and stuff, you know. But it was, we were dealing with this horrible thing.
Yeah.
But let's put smiles out there.
Because there's always something that is not fun necessarily, but joyful.
Yeah. It's like,
right? Dogs bring joy. Yeah, let them bring joy.
Exactly. You know, and bring joy to them, you know, and smiles. And so,
I love this.
And so it was like really looking to continue with a quality of life for him and happiness.
You know, how long was he wearing the cone of shame? Like how long did it go on?
It was like all the time during the radiation treatment. And then, you know, after when his skin broke down, so it was like another month after that.
Oh, my God. I mean, so 19 weeks straight, that would be about 5.
Well, it wasn't 19 weeks. It was 19 days of treatment. And so he was wearing the cone of shame probably for almost 2.5, 3 months.
Okay.
But, you know, so after the radiation and things looked kind of good, you know, when we stepped back and, you know, his nose was tilted down, but okay. And before that, you know, I was doing obedience with him. And he'd already gotten his versatility title, which means he had gotten his CD and he had his one draft title. But we were training for the next level, but that was with, you know, when they would go over the jump and they would have to carry the dumbbell. You know, when you throw the dumbbell.
In their mouth?
Yeah, and they would have to bring the dumbbell back to you, you know, and you would throw it over the jump and they would have to go retrieve it over the jump and come, hold it over the jump and come back. And he had no upper canine anymore.
Oh,
but we would go up to the training hall, you know, just because that was part of our routine. And one day I was like, well, okay. And so I had his dumbbell there and I was like, oh, so I just put him in a sit by me and I threw the dumbbell and he went flying out and picked it up and came back and sat in front of me holding that thing. And I'm like,
he was able to do it.
Like, how can you do that with no teeth? Like, how's that work? You know? And so I'm like, all right, well, okay, for shits and giggles, let's see what happens. And so I took the big jump out, and I'm like, okay, let's throw it over the jump. And so I threw the thing, and he went flying out over the jump. He always loved to go over jumps. Went over the jump, picked up that dumbbell, came flying back over the jump, still holding it in his mouth. I'm like, how do you do that? You know? So it was like, okay, honey pie, you know, we're going to keep doing whatever we do.
Yeah. He's like, you're limiting me.
Yeah.
Let me pick up the dumbbell. I'd like to do it.
I know. So it was like, okay. You know, so we, you know, continued to compete a little bit. You know, we were still doing draft work and we'd go on our trips and stuff. And by that point, he was a veteran. You know, when dog reaches 7 years old, they were veteran.
Okay.
And so I showed him at regional specialties and veterans. And so, I mean, I remember going in one time and the judge looked at him and went, oh my God, you know, and I'm like, he's happy, please smile. You know, and she's like, yeah. And she says, he's amazing. He's gorgeous. It's just what happened, but he's so gorgeous.
So was his nose like really hanging? It was very obvious.
Like a snake. Yeah.
Oh, it was really hanging down at an angle.
It didn't bother him eating wise. I mean, you know, he
totally adapted to it.
Totally. I mean, dogs are amazing. We would be whining and crying and, you know, hiding in a corner.
I'd be in bed for years.
Yeah. You know, they figure out, it's like, okay, that's what it is now.
Right. This is how I live now. Oh, well, I can still carry the dumbbell.
Right. You know,
that's incredible.
We kept going. And then, but we would go back for checks to Sage. And we went back one time right before Thanksgiving, and they were looking, and they were like, I think we need to do another biopsy because they think it was back. And it did come back. And so it was like, okay, shit, now what? And I'm like, no more radiation. You know, she was like, yeah. And I said, there's no more operating. I mean, we're not taking any more of this dog.
Were you worried about the surgery, the side effects, or like why not?
Quality of life at that point. I mean, it was like if you cut more of that upper jaw, it was like, this is getting, no, we're not going there.
Okay.
You know, and the radiation that was so hard on him, I'm like, I don't think I could put him through that again.
Okay, Diana, hold that thought right there while we take a short break to hear from our sponsors.
And now, a message from your dog.
Every day with you is like a day at the beach, and I want as many beach days as possible. I want to run and sniff and find a good stick to carry. I want to walk with you, run with you, sleep with you, eat with you. And when I eat with you, I want Everpup. It infuses any food you give me with health and life and vibrancy. I can feel it. It's a strange thing to do, sprinkle this powder on my food, but I wouldn't have it any other way. My time with you is precious and irreplaceable, and I'm thrilled to be with you for as long as possible. Here's to puppy playtime and senior snoozes. No matter how old I get, I want my Everpup. It just makes me feel good. In this life, and the next, and the next, and the next, I am so grateful to be your dog and for the Everpup you give me.
So now that you know what your dog wants, get Everpup, the ultimate dog supplement. Everpup is available in select pet shops and on Amazon. But to get the best price possible, join the Everpup Club at everpupclub.com, where you'll get your first jar for just $8 with free shipping anywhere in the U.S. Go to everpupclub.com and use the discount code DPN. That is everpupclub.com. Everpup, every day.
If your dog has cancer, you need to get a copy of the best-selling animal health book, The Dog Cancer Survival Guide. Because no matter what you've heard, there are always steps that you can take to help your dog fight and maybe even beat cancer. At nearly 500 pages, this comprehensive guide is your complete reference for practical, evidence-based strategies that can optimize the life quality and longevity of your dog. It's written by two of the most respected names in dog cancer, full-spectrum veterinarian Damian Dressler and veterinary oncologist Susan Ettinger. With the Dog Cancer Survival Guide, you'll learn everything that you need to know about conventional treatments, surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation, including how to reduce their side effects. You'll also discover the most effective non-conventional options, including nutraceuticals and supplements and diet, as well as mind-body medicine. What I love most about this book, which I've used with my own dog, Kanga, when she was diagnosed with cancer, is how to analyze the options and develop a specific plan for your own dog based on your dog's type of cancer and your dog's age, your financial budget, as well as your personality. You can get the Dog Cancer Survival Guide wherever books are sold, but if you get it direct from the publisher, you will save 10% when you use the offer code, especially for listeners of this podcast. Just go to dogcancerbook.com, and when you check out, use the promo code PODCAST, and you will save 10%. The website again, dogcancerbook.com, and use the promo code PODCAST to save 10%. I want to let you know about an important newsletter. It's called Dog Cancer News. Now, with a name like that, it is not for everyone. But if your dog has cancer, you will want to subscribe. That's because every issue features articles that will be helpful, such as low-carb dog cancer diet recipes, new clinical trials, financial resources to help pay for cancer care, information on supplements, and lots of other helpful info that your veterinarian may not know or have the time to share with you. Also, when you subscribe to Dog Cancer News, you will get a weekly update on the topics covered on this podcast, along with links and resources. So how much does Dog Cancer News cost? Well, today, you can subscribe for free. It's our gift. For a limited time, you can get a full year's subscription for free. No strings attached. Just go to this website to sign up for the newsletter now, dogcancernews.com. It takes less than 10 seconds to subscribe, and it is totally free. Do it now at dogcancernews.com.
And we're back with Diana Gerba. Just to make sure that I understand, I'm not doubting that the radiation was hard on him, but what was hard about it? That's one of the things people often wonder about radiation.
So what happened on his face was the skin sloughed off.
Okay.
It sloughed off inside the nostrils also.
Oh.
So it got very, like, gooky and all around his nose. So it was very hard for him at points in time to breathe.
Oh,
and
because he was just being flooded with kind of sloughing skin.
Right. And so it was like cleaning this off of him. And he was on different pain meds through that whole time. I mean, the pill regimen was ridiculous. It was huge to keep him calm. And because he was, remember, Tesoro.
Right. He wanted to run around. He didn't care if his nose was falling up.
You know, for him to be comfortable, it was hard. At that point, I also started feeding. Well, I fed raw all the time, and the veterinarians were concerned about that. And I talked to, who I dealt with raw. I did not have bone in my raw. I had eggshells, and she's like, you can cook all this. So at that point, we changed him to cooked meals so that he was still on the same kind of protein.
And so same diet, but he cooked
right.
it. Okay.
Right.
And this is when the fibrosarcoma came back. You started that.
Well, no,
I said that earlier.
Earlier, all
okay.
through whatever,
yeah.
The operation and stuff, we moved
right.
to cook food.
Makes sense.
Because, who knows?
Yeah.
So the radiation and with the pain levels and stuff, what was going on, after we had cleared through radiation, I ended up going to a holistic vet also.
Okay.
Because it was like, let's go on both sides of the coin,
Right.
And, talk to the people at Sage and said, here's the people here. And especially when we got back into that, it had come back again. It was like, okay, I want you guys to talk to each other.
Oh.
So everybody knows what everybody is taking and giving. So we don't have any conflicts, with any kind of medication. It's like, this is what everything is. So whenever I would go to the holistic vet, I would take up all the meds and say, this is what, he's on. And when I would go back to Sage, I would show, this is what, they've got me. And then we also went on giving him a marijuana also.
Uh-huh.
So he had CBD oil, and it was an increase in dosage. So it was, pretty hefty.
Is that legal in your state?
It's legal in California.
Okay.
So here's the other kind of little craziness. So at that point, I had all these supplements, and I called Trupanion, and they were like, oh, yeah, we pay for all the supplements. 90%, they covered all the supplements. It's like, okay.
What? Did you submit all of your receipts going back?
Yeah, and they covered them all.
And they covered them? Oh, my goodness. My next dog, we're getting pet insurance.
it's like, it's crazy not to, especially, with a Bernese Mountain Dog. With a Bernese. Now, for a Bernese, it costs more. Because they have a higher incident rate. But I must go back to, when we were doing the radiation, at that point, Trupanion changed, how they dealt with submissions. So when we were doing the radiation, it was vet would just bill directly to Trupanion. I didn't have to put the money up front anymore.
Oh, that's
I would
nice.
Just have to pay my 10%.
So you had to submit for the surgery, but then when it came to radiation, they had changed the policy and they paid,
right.
they worked directly with the vet.
Right.
Right.
And so not all vets do they, the vet has to be able to, I guess they have the agreement with Trupanion that they will
right.
do that.
They're in network.
In that way. Yeah, in network. Correct. but they did, which was just a godsend to me. The radiation was expensive. Then after, when they found it again, we were like, okay, what are we going to do? And I went on to Google. I'm like looking, what else can I do? And
right.
I found this company, Torigen, who does immunotherapy. And this
right.
was back. They had just kind of started. So I called them and talked with the head of the company and said, this is what my dog has, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, wish we could have gotten the tumor. Because they could have used that,
Because they target based on the genetics of the tumor.
Tumor, correct.
Okay.
Correct. So I had Torigen talk to my vet and my surgeon, oncologist and surgeon, and they said, okay, well, what we'll do is we'll pull a biopsy plug and we'll send the biopsy plug to Torigen. Okay. So I called Trupanion and said, you know, it's a new treatment. You know, and I sent them stuff and they're on the phone and they're looking and she goes and talks to their people and comes back. She says, no, this is a treatment and we'll pay. We'll cover it.
So I want to just make a disclaimer. We are not being sponsored by Trupanion.
Right.
We have no financial relationship with Trupanion. Trupanion is not sponsoring. This is all just a story that is a true life, like a true tale about Tesoro and fibrosarcoma and Trupanion really coming through for you.
They were amazing. Okay. So, I mean, they were like, yeah, we'll do that. And so when I told them about the, you know, Torigen, I was like, well, out of curiosity, he's also on this marijuana. And like, you know, the marijuana is costing, you know, each month. It was about $200, $250 every 3 weeks to 4 weeks.
Because it's still, you're still dosing it based on weight, right? And he's 108
correct.
Pounds. So
right.
you're always spending more money on a 108-pound dog
right.
than, you know, we were spending on our 8-pound dog, right?
Like, right. Exactly.
Right.
You know, and so they asked me, is it legal in your state?
Uh-huh.
And I said, yes. And they're like, okay.
Then we cover it?
Correct.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So it was like,
now, is that because it was prescribed by your veterinarian?
It was prescribed by my holistic vet. Yeah.
So as long as a veterinarian was prescribing it, they were covering it, it sounds mm-hmm. like.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we just went on that path and, you know, we did the plug and, you know, seemed to, you know, the immunotherapy and we would go down for, he had to have, I think it was like 3 shots or something. And so we did that. And we'd go for a while and things were refined. And then, you know, I'd go back again and notice there was a little bit like the bump on the side, you know, and they would look again. And we called Torigen and said, should we do another? And they were like, we don't know it with the road that we're on, but sure. So we did.
What was that timeline from when you first started the Torigen treatments to this fourth? It sounds like a fourth shot.
I'm trying to remember. You know, basically, he fought for 2 years.
Okay. 2 years from diagnosis?
2 years from diagnosis. I know, which if you look back as to what, you know, most, he had much longer. And in that 2 year time, you know, as I said, you know, we showed in veterans at 2 regional specialties, you know, went down to Palm Springs with him and showed in Palm Springs at the show. We went to 3 more draft tests and he passed 3 more draft tests. One of which was, you know, bless his heart, it was pouring rain at my friend's house. I mean, just, and, you know, as working dogs, you go out in the rain.
That's right.
The
you
farmers
work.
Went out in the rain.
Right.
You did it.
Yeah.
You know, so the draft test, I mean, it was pouring. And we're out there doing our obedience and doing our maneuvering thing. And at one point, the wind picked up and it blew one of the canopies into the ring. And he just held his ground. He stood there and did what his job was supposed to do. You know, someone's coffee cup and hamburger bun went flying by him, and he still did his job. Like, okay, whatever, I'm working. You know.
Oh,
and
wow.
After the maneuvering ring, you have to do a long down, and all the dogs line up, and they do a long down. And their owners go, you know, on the other side of the ring, and you sit there, and it's a 3-minute down stay. And there were like 8 dogs in the ring.
So that means for people who don't do this kind of training, because I can't even imagine this. So you go to the, you say sit and stay, and then you walk away and go very far away and wait 3.5 minutes?
3 minutes, yeah.
3 minutes.
Three
and the
minutes.
Dog stays.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they're supposed to be in a down, not in a sit. Or okay. Actually, they could be in a sit or a down, but they can't change the position.
They can't
and
change so, whatever position you left them in. They don't move.
Great. You know, and so we're slowly seeing all these other dogs getting up, you know. And I'm looking, and Tesoro is actually laying in a rainbow. I mean, because it's just a puddle. You know, the whole, like, everything is a puddle. And he's just sitting there, and he did his long down. I was just like, bless your heart.
Yeah. You know, he's like, Mom told me to stay. This is where I'm staying.
You know, and so.
He's a good dog.
Then we went on the freight haul, and, you know, we passed. And that weekend, on that day, we had a full complement, I think, about 27 teams. And there was only three that passed, and one of them was him.
26 teams, but three passed, and Tesoro was one.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, bless his heart. You know, I mean, just bless his heart. He was an amazing dog. And everything else about him was healthy, except for that. And when the fibrosarcoma started coming back again the last time, I could kind of see it on the side of his face.
And okay, so it's moved.
At that point, you know, okay, we're going to start pressing on the brain. And the potential for seizures were going to be there. And I'm like, I'm not doing this. I mean, we're not going to put him through this, you know. And it was talking to my vet, and she's like, Diana, she says, you know, whenever you think is right, is right. And I'm like, I can see his quality going down. You know, so he was a warrior for 2 years. And again, I never could have done it without having insurance.
How much total did you spend? Or did they spend, or however you calculate that?
A total, it was in excess of $60,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Tesoro means treasure. And treasure was spent on Tesoro.
It was. It certainly was.
Wow. You know? But he lived so well.
Yeah.
And it sounds like money, well, you had to think about it. It didn't end up dictating your treatment choices because they were paying for it.
Correct.
What a miracle.
You know, and that's why, I mean, it's like I tell my friends that are breeders and stuff, it's like, tell your puppy people to get insurance. You know, I mean, I chose Trupanion. There are other ones that are probably good. But one of the big questions for burners is like, look to see, does your insurance company cover hereditary diseases? That's a big one.
Yeah.
It's a real, real big one because you buy the insurance and, you know, you get the cancer diagnosis. And with histio in burners, they go, well, it's genetic. And so the coverage might not be there. So, you know, when you get insurance, you need to check it out. You need to look.
Ask those questions. And none of them are making plans that are apples to apples. You cannot make apples to apples comparisons. Yep. They all cover things differently and different things are covered. So for you, Trupanion was covering hereditary diseases,
and they had no maximum top. They didn't say it was going to be a limit out. I mean, so I think I had a deductible, and their deductible is per illness.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, everything was related to his fibrosarcoma.
Right. So that even when he came out of remission, that was still considered part of the original illness. So it was you didn't have to pay that deductible more than once.
Correct.
So do you mind me asking what your monthly premium was?
I think it was like $120 a month.
Okay.
I think it might be more now for a brother. Okay. I mean, now I have a Tibetan Spaniel. There you go. I have a little guy.
They're so lovely, too.
He's 14 pounds. A big difference.
Very big difference.
And actually, I got him when I still had Tesoro because all my friends were like, you know, oh, my God, Diana's going to go crazy. If she loses Tesoro, what's she going to do? And I was like, I couldn't bring in a puppy at that time with him. And so I was very lucky. Again, it was my breeder called me up one day and said, you got to take this dog. And I'm like, I've never even seen a Tibetan Spaniel. But she was right. And he is a gift. And he's an amazing, amazing little guy. It's taken me on an amazing adventure.
What's his name?
His name is Marco.
Marco. Well, of course, he's going to take you on an adventure.
Oh, yeah.
Marco Polo traveled all over the world.
Right. And so when he has...
We have to be careful what we name our dogs because it matters.
It does. It truly does. And Marco has taken me... He's actually from Hungary.
Uh-huh.
And I've taken him to the National Dog Show in Philadelphia, where he got Best of Breed 2 out of 3 days.
Goodness.
He's been to the National down in Orlando. He was number 3 owner handled 2 years in a row. We went to Westminster, and he got an award of merit at Westminster. So he has taken me on a whole different journey than Tesoro took me on. But Tesoro, actually, you know, I got him in July, and Tesoro passed away that following March, you know, so they had time together. And the two of them really loved each other.
How old was Marco when you brought him into your family?
He was a little over 2 years old.
Okay, so he had gotten past his puppy.
He had been past the puppy, so he actually fit right in. I'd say within 2 days, the two of them were sniffing the same sniffs and peeing on the same bush. And, had a good friendship started. And really glad that I had him when I had to say goodbye to Tesoro.
How long before Tesoro passed that you got Marco? I missed that.
Well, I got Marco in July, and Tesoro passed the following March.
Hmm.
So they had some time together, and Tibetan Spaniels really like big dogs because their heritage is that they were alert dogs for the monks. So they would be on the monastery walls looking out, and they would alert something, and then Tibetan Mastiff, the big guys, would come out and take care of the problem.
They worked together.
They were a team, And even to this day, Marco just loves to have burgers come over, and see the big guys.
Oh. On the topic of guardians, Bernese Mountain dog breeders and owners created, I think it's called the Berner Guard Foundation, to help address health problems in the breed and work towards solutions. So can you tell me a bit about that?
Barbara Packard started it many, many moons ago, realizing that it was really important to not only track pedigrees, but also to track illnesses and to be a source. So Berner Guard exists, and the Bernese Mountain Dog community also has funded a lot of research for the different types of cancers. And one of the things that we do with Berners is that when there is a tumor and a dog dies, we do necropsies, and we send the tumor samples up to University of Michigan, where they are kept, and researchers, when they need samples to study, they can go up there. So when I lost my prior Bernese Fidelio to histiocytic sarcoma, his tumor was sent up there. And with Tesoro, it was like his tumor and his diagnosis and stuff is also sent. So it's another way when people, they should look to their breed clubs to see if they have anything like that, because it is a way that your dog can help other dogs.
Absolutely. It is really important. One of the things I've really noticed over the years, that people who go on the cancer journey with their dogs become incredibly, maybe they're all already incredibly compassionate people, but it seems to open up this whole new dimension of compassion and of real wanting to help other dogs to prevent, right. I would do anything I could in my power to prevent anybody from going through what I've gone through. I think you're the same. And most people I know whose dogs have gone through cancer feel the same way. Like, I would spare anybody this. And that's a wonderful way that Bernese Mountain dog owners in particular can contribute to the body of knowledge to help future dogs. And there are other ways too. We do a lot of shows about this, and we'll make sure that we put some, we'll put links to everything in the show notes to make sure people can access that.
Yeah, it's important. Oh. Going forward, and helping, it's the birders, again, they have a lot of cancers. And so there are, Berner Guard is a place for people to go to see what are the clinical studies that are going on. Can I be part of a trial? So it's like, where do I go? And for Bernese Mountain Dogs, for puppy buyers, you can also go and look at the pedigrees and look at the health records and see. It's like, where are we at?
Right. Let's prevent cancer by choosing.
But it's also a wealth of knowledge for what are the genetic tests? Is the breeder that you're going to, are they doing the tests? Not only for, because now there is a test for, for histio. It's basically in the breed. But it's like, are they doing the test for Van Wildebrandt? Are they doing the test for DM? So it's educating yourself as a puppy buyer also to know what you're getting into.
And that's BernerGuard.org.
Yes.
Okay. We'll put a link in the show notes.
It's a fantastic, fantastic resource.
So when Tesoro finally passed, was that something that you helped him with, or did he go on his own?
No, we helped him. And knowing that it was in talking with the oncologist that there was a good chance that he was going to start developing seizures because you could see where the tumor was growing.
I see.
It was like, no, this is not. So we need to let you go, and we need to release his spirit. And that's another thing that I've always, you know, like people have the expression, I put my dog down. And it's like, down where?
You know? Right. That's the wrong direction.
It's like, this is not the thing to say, you know,
right,
I put my
dog
down. It's like, and so I've been a big proponent of, you know, and when I talk to my oncologists and stuff, it's like, we should be saying we release their spirit, you know, as opposed to I put my dog down. So we released his spirit, and I took Marco with me after we had done it. I brought him in to the room so he could see to Sorrel, and it was very interesting in that Marco went around and like sniffed all the pads on his feet.
No.
You know, and just sniffed all the pads and then came up and looked at his face and then came and crawled into my lap. And my oncologist, who was there with us, you know, she was just like, I've never seen anything like this before. And I was like, well, you know, they're buds. You know,
he had to make sure he understood what was going on.
Yeah. We have
I think this is what's happening.
Yeah.
It is what's happening.
Yeah. And I'll let them honor their relationship that they had also.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very, very sad day. And I miss him. Terribly.
Yeah. And how many years has it been?
It's been 4 years.
Yeah. What I know about grief would fill a teacup, but I feel like I know a lot.
Yeah.
And there's so much to know. But one of the big things is that, in my experience at least, the grief never really goes. We never stop missing.
No.
It's just that we get used to the absence and then get a reminder of it, a fresh reminder.
Yeah.
And it's just as intense for me.
Yeah,
you know, I'm still mourning the dog I lost when I was three.
Yeah. I mean, you remember them in your heart. And the time spent with them. And each dog, I mean, each dog has a special place. You know,
yes.
None of them are the same.
Nope.
They're all different. I tell my friends that each one, you know, they make you a better person and a better trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you figured out the one dog of how to get around those issues, but the new one comes in and goes, whoa.
I'm different.
Yeah, I can do this. And you're like, oh, okay. You know, but to Sorrel, he had spirit, I mean, and I think, you know, it was, yes, Trupanion made a lot of it possible, but to Sorrel had such a strong spirit. I mean, he was a fighter. It was really obvious. And after we had thought that, you know, we had really, the first time when we were good, you know, we got through the radiation, and we thought we had made it. I had this ribbon made of a cancer survivor, you know, cancer warrior ribbon, you know, and we went down to Sage and Rebecca, and we stood out in front of Sage and took a picture of Tesoro with his ribbon, you know, just like the judge would present at a dog show, that she was holding the ribbon, you know, you're looking for those things to make you smile when you're on that journey.
Right. That's what I want to ask you. What is the most important piece of advice that you have from your journey with Tesoro to share with our listeners?
I truly think it's looking at quality of life. And just because you got the diagnosis does not mean, okay, it's all over. You're going to go on a journey and look for ways to enjoy life, that time that you have with your dog, and make smiles for him, make smiles for other people. And it is possible to keep that time special with them, you know, because none of us are going to be here forever. And we know when we sign up to get that puppy, we're probably going to outlive that puppy. So enjoy that time and honor them. And, you know, when the time is right, you are the one to make the decision. It's the hardest decision that you're going to make, but it's a gift that you can give your dog. We can't do it for our people, but we can do it for our dogs.
Right. Well, in Switzerland, you can do it for yourself, too.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other show.
That's a whole other show. Yeah, most definitely.
Oh, this has been such a wonderful time to spend with you. Tesoro has clearly made it a big paw print in your life, but not just your life, the life of so many people you know. And I know that many of our listeners will feel his spirit and his presence through you and your story. And I really appreciate you talking to us about Tesoro.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Okay, now we both have tears in our eyes.
Yep. It's a teary episode. You know, I'm always crying during Dog Cancer Answer shows, but usually it's not quite as obvious.
Well, you know, it's part of life, and it shows our love.
It absolutely does.
It really shows our love.
Yes. Thank you, Diana Gerba. And thank you, listener, for joining us today. I am sure that you're as full of emotions as I am at the end of this conversation with Diana about her treasure, Tesoro. He was a special dog for Diana. I know that your special dog means the world to you as well. And even though a $60,000 cancer bill is just shocking to contemplate, it sure does help when we can make decisions based on what our dogs need and what will give them the best quality of life rather than just finances, right? It's so incredible. I know that I'm going to be, with our next dog, looking at cancer carefully as a line item in all of the different plans as I compare and choose. To find out more about, well, pet insurance, but all things cancer in general for dogs, join us at dogcancer.com. We have lots of information there about financial resources. Call our listener line to leave a question and we'll make it into a show with a veterinarian. Or if you've got a true tale like Diana's about a dog that really touched your heart and that you helped through their cancer journey, call 808-868-3200 and tell us about your dog. And we will bring you on for a new episode to inspire dog lovers in the future. Because every time we tell our true tale, we're helping people years from now help their dogs with cancer. I'm Molly Jacobson, and from all of us here at Dog Podcast Network, I'm wishing you and your dog a very warm aloha.
Thank you for listening to Dog Cancer Answers. If you'd like to connect, please visit our website at dogcanceranswers.com or call our listener line at 808-868-3200. And here's a friendly reminder that you probably already know. This podcast is provided for informational and educational purposes only. It's not meant to take the place of the advice you receive from your dog's veterinarian. Only veterinarians who examine your dog can give you veterinary advice or diagnose your dog's medical condition. Your reliance on the information you hear on this podcast is solely at your own risk. If your dog has a specific health problem, contact your veterinarian. Also, please keep in mind that veterinary information can change rapidly. Therefore, some information may be out of date. Dog Cancer Answers is a presentation of Maui Media in association with Dog Podcast Network.
T-cell infusions for lymphoma in dogs is a really interesting experimental treatment, but is it right for Mariana's dog, Hoya? Veterinary oncologist Dr. Megan Duffy is on Dog Cancer Answers parsing out the pros and cons of such a tiny dog getting such a big treatment. That's on Dog Cancer Answers. Get it wherever you get your podcasts or at dogcancer.com/podcast.